You are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
It's up to me to be the very best I can be.
Welcome back to the Up to Me Magazine Show. The Up to Me Magazine Show is your inspirational go-to platform for behind the scenes with industry professionals and talent in Christian entertainment and successful small businesses. Join us today as our guest will be renowned Christian comedian and entertainer Jason Earls. I'm your host, Gabby G, because I was born with a gift of gab, a trait that each of my friends and family can all attest to. So whether you like to talk a lot like me or you're just a great listener, please join me in my virtual Comedy Central Cafe this week and be inspired to laugh along with me as I introduce to you this morning my hilarious and fabulous guest who will both motivate and entertain you. So get your popcorn out, gather your friends or family in quarantine, and be prepared to listen and laugh with some recent audio clips as we go behind the curtain with Jason to talk about all things faith and comedy. In addition, stay tuned later in the show for an opportunity to call in and speak to Jason on air. Simply call 347-324-5246 and press the number 1 to come on air at the designated time. As a reminder, Up to Me Radio can be found on iHeartRadio, as well as Alexa, Google Play Music, Stitcher, iTunes, and Spotify. You can also join our 1 million plus listeners in uploading any one of these apps on your mobile or Android devices. On social media, Up to Me Radio can also be found on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Whether you're a new listener this season or a loyal present listener to this program, you now have the ability to be a subscriber to the Up to Me Magazine Show. Simply go to our website at www.up2meradio.com and click on the show image to check out our latest events, hot topics, tips, promotional giveaways, and more. Well, this past fall, the Lord blessed me with a 10-day trip to Israel and the Holy Land, along with 28 or so gifted, smart, and talented Christian entertainers. I felt so honored and privileged to be in the company of some of the who's who in Christian entertainment, hip-hop artists, podcasters, filmmakers, actresses, producers, pastors, and comedians. Among my very first immediate connection made was with my incredibly warm, funny, and integral guest this morning, who has delighted audiences all over the globe with his in-depth and insightful brand of clean Christian comedy in venues such as comedy clubs, churches, and businesses alike. He has also performed for both students and members of the armed forces and has been voted as Seattle's favorite comedian. He has also been featured on Focus on the Family's Date Night Challenge, Trinity Broadcast Network, the Date Night Comedy Tour, and is the president of the Christian Comedy Association. He was also named ITM Live's Best Comedian and has been sought after to produce content for marriage and family events, connecting his desire to relate to audiences from all walks of life. His brand of comedy is non-toxic, trusting him to deliver without any offensive twist or turn, and sets the stage for his passion and mission to not live to make you laugh, but to make you laugh to help you live. Of course, I'm talking about the incomparable Christian entertainer and comedian and my dear friend, Jason Earls. Please help give me a very warm virtual welcome. Jason, good morning.
Wow, Gail, I need you to go on tour with me and do my intro from here on out. My goodness. Wow.
That is all you, my friend.
I'm like, yeah, I can't wait to hear me. My goodness.
That is all you.
Oh, man. Thank you.
Oh, we're so appreciative of all the time that you're taking. We know that you have a large family yourself. You had 6 children and a beautiful, talented wife. And so for you to be able to carve out some time with us is truly appreciated. And, well, naturally, Jason, the best way that I could think of to introduce you to our audience this morning would be by treat. Well, I just want to treat everyone to a laugh. With the times that our country is going through right now, I just think it's the best dose of medicine, and it showcases the incredible gift that the Lord has given you. So we're going to go ahead and play right off the bat.
Okay.
One of your audio clips that happens to be one of my personal favorites. So without any further, I know you know which one it's going to be, but we're going to go ahead and take a listen to Jason Earls performing If Your Breath Stinks.
Mm-mm-mm.
If your breath stinks, limit your duty on the prayer team. Amen. Has anybody ever prayed for you and their breath stunk? That is murder. I went out of town to do a marriage conference, and I took my wife with me. The pastor said, man, you're calm, you're funny. Can I pray for you, your family, your ministry? God bless. I'm like, sure, pastor. He put his hand on my shoulder, put his hand on my wife's shoulder. He said, dear Heavenly Father. I said, He said, God, right now I sense that Jason and Terry are in a funk. I said, yes, Lord. You know Jesus. He said, God, I don't know what this trial is. I said, reveal it to him right now. Open up his eyes and his nostrils. He said, God, I don't know how long this trial is going to last. I said, shut it down. Shut it down. Finally, I quit. I gave up. My eyes were burning. I said, I can't take it anymore. He said, come on, say hallelujah. I'm like, uh-uh. He said, say hallelujah. I'm like, no. He said, say hallelujah. I said, halitosis, halitosis.
Well, let's give it up for Jason Earls.
Hey, hey. What's happening,
oh, my
everybody?
Goodness. You know what? You were so much fun to research this morning. Oh, my goodness.
Thank you.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, this morning, this week. You were so much fun to research this week. Because I could just sit and I just watched your clips. And it just made me so happy. And so that's just, you know, I just want to tell everybody, I'm going to give you a quick shout out here. Go on YouTube, youtube.com/Jason Earls Comedy. You'll laugh all day long. Play these clips over and over and over. I had a hard time deciding on which clips that I was even going to present this morning because they're all so funny. But you know what? I just want to back up a little bit, Jason, because and go back to your early background. Were you always naturally this funny as a kid?
You know what? I was. I sat beside in first grade. I sat beside the class clown. And I was too scared to joke out loud in class because my parents had this thing called a belt. So I was like, my parents didn't play.
You're right.
But I
Board of Education.
Absolutely, I would tell him some things to do, and I always I could see how the Lord was working on my timing. In second grade, I was checking out. There were two types of books that I checked out in the library. It was drawing books and joke books. And then in third grade, I started keeping a notebook of jokes that I would come up with. I wouldn't necessarily share with a lot of people, but I would just write different jokes. And when I got to middle school, that's when I just realized that thanks to puberty, you know, and getting out, you know, and starting to get a little bit more bold or just wanting attention, I started realizing that I was one of the funniest people in the classroom or in my grades. And that's when one girl said, I never forget, her name was Tamika. One day in the hallway, Tamika said, "JC, you funny." I was like, I know it. Like, I really know. Now, for me to say I know with my lack of confidence was huge. But I just recognized then that I had this uncanny ability to make people laugh. Even though I wasn't the smartest person, I come from a very distinguished family. And, you know, my uncle's very prominent, and my dad, my mom, my brother's very smart, athletes and everything. And I was none of the above. So I found my niche with comedy.
You know what, though? And were you the youngest? You're the youngest of how many kids?
So there are three. I have two other siblings. I'm in the middle. However, in my generation, you have my dad and his brothers, and then all of the nephews. I'm the youngest boy in the Earl's family. So again, so we have neurologists, we have filmmakers, we have my uncle is a renowned physicist that ran NASA in Cleveland. Run the Green Research Center. Man, just a phenomenal. Has like three doctorate degrees, a business degree, certification from Harvard. You know, I have a bunch of pastors. My dad is a pastor. Both of my granddads were pastors. Some of my uncles are pastors. Even my dog is a pastor.
Your dog?
Yeah, we call him the Reverend Jeremiah Shepherd. And so, so I have all these, you know, these distinguished men and strong, intelligent women in my family. And then you have Jason. And I always looked up to everybody.
Jason.
And, yes.
I could tell. If anybody just sits with you for 5 minutes, your intelligence just exudes, for one thing. You're funny, but you're funny smart. You're funny in a smart way.
Thank you.
No, you are, and actually, that was actually going to be my next question to you, was because I read that your grandfather says that your brand of comedy brings laughs that'll learn you something. So you make people laugh with a purpose, though, and I think that's your secret sauce. And to me, this is what sets you apart from other Christian comedians. So how are you able to combine serious biblical truths with comedy to teach, make folks laugh, but make an impact for Jesus?
You know what, Gail, and man, you trying to touch my emotions right now and make me cry on the radio. Man, I remember when God was pressing on my heart and calling me into ministry, Gail, I didn't want to go. I didn't want to answer the call. Because I grew up in a family full of preachers, and I just didn't like the seriousness that a lot of my family members and their friends portrayed. Like, back in seventh grade, I recognized that I was funny, and I loved being the jovial Jason. I loved making people laugh, and I felt like if I was to be a preacher and answer God's call, that I would have to set all that aside and just be serious. And I was like, Lord. But then one day, my dad saw me wrestling with that and starting to try to act like somebody I wasn't. You know, as all of us go through that when we're starting to evolve into who we are, we start to try to emulate our heroes. And one day my dad grabbed me. He just said, Jason, God made you the way that he wanted you to be. You don't need.
Amen.
We don't need another Robert Earls. We don't need another Julian Earls, another Rayfield Clay, granddad. God made you this way, that he, exact way that he wanted you to be. So don't try to be anybody else. And then he said this. This is what really got me. Because I'm big on loving people. He said,
yes, you are.
If people are trying to love you, but you're acting like somebody that you're not, you're actually giving them somebody else to love, and they're not able to love the real you. And I was like, what?
Wow. There's some truth in that.
I was like, you know what? You know what? I'm going to be me. I'm not gonna try to be anybody else. I'm not. Now, my dad, who's one of my greatest encouragers, but he, it kind of backfired on him, because when I did start actually speaking at churches, he would always say, man, you got to stand still more. Like, make sure you stand still and don't move all the place. I'm like, Dad, that's not me, though. I can't do that. I got to be. You said be me.
You can't
be
me,
like,
right?
Maybe when you go to seminary, they teach you that. And I was like, no, I'm still not going to change, because I understand the importance of being me. So that's kind of what started. And I just realized, like, how I see life and how I feel to communicate, that's what I'm going to do. And it's going to be me.
And so was that must have been very freeing for you, though, for him to tell you that.
It was.
Do you find that was freeing?
Absolutely. You know what? Somebody told me one time I was doing this camp. A lot of times in the summers, I'll travel with my family and we'll just go speak at different camps. And I tried to get away from it, but just God has me sometimes in that sweet spot of communicating to students. That's not all who I communicate to. And one guy that I was meeting with over the summer, just trying to help him develop and coach him on this camp, when I showed up and spoke, he said, the one takeaway I got from you is that you're real and authentic. He said, and that's hard. And I'm like, dude, being authentic is not hard. It's just you understanding who you are and being who you are. And that's, you cannot be somebody. What's difficult for me is try to act like somebody I'm not.
Yeah, that's harder, isn't it?
And that, Gail, is what's burdensome. But here's what I realized, though. When a bird wakes up in the morning, I don't know when a bird wakes up. I don't know. But anyway, when a bird wakes and flies out of the nest, the bird doesn't say, doggone it, I got to chirp today. Man, I got to fly today. The lion doesn't say, I got to roar today. Shoot. The dolphin doesn't wake up in the morning or at night, whenever he wakes up, doesn't wake up like, nah, I got to jump out the water and blow water out my head. When they do it, here's what we got to understand. When they do those things, it instinctively encourages their own creative selves. But not only that, it reflects the glory of the God who made them. So just
Amen.
Like God created a bird to chirp, a lion to roar, God created me to be me, make people laugh, and inspire people. I'm sorry.
No, amen to that.
Yeah.
No, you just keep talking, because you're speaking truth right now.
Up.
No.
Absolutely.
No. That's amazing.
And that's what Maya Angelou, wrote a poem called I Know Why the Caged Bird, Sings.
Yes. Love
and,
that.
You're right, and there's a reality that all of us, in some sense, when we're not ourselves, are cage birds, and we long to be and do all that God has created us to be. And it's different for all of us. Some of us, like I have some family members who are super serious. Like, yo, if God made you super serious, be super serious. But don't be immature in your seriousness and try to get me to be serious all the time. That's immature.
Right. Oh, I understand. Yeah. Don't encourage others to. And I had to kind of learn that myself because my husband and I are opposites. So I'm extroverted. And he's introverted. So we realized the first few years in our marriage, you know what? It's okay that you're that way, and it's okay that I'm this way. it's not right or wrong. It's just who we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if we give the each other the freedom to be who we are and just accept and embrace who we are and work with that, like you're
mm-hmm.
saying, you know, it's freedom. And that, I think that's why, yeah, I mean, you're speaking so many amazing truths right now. One of the things that I wanted to talk with you about is the mechanics of stand-up comedy for a minute, because I have a million questions. I have a million questions about that, because seriously, Jason, you know how many people have the dream to be a stand-up comic, but it is hard. And
wow.
It's hard. Stand-up comedy is hard. And it's scary, too. Like, you know, you have sometimes they'll do like karaoke night, or you have like your workplace might have a stand-up night, and, you know, and so somebody just tries to do stand-up. And they realize how hard it is to do it. I know I've tried it, and it definitely is a gift, and it's an art. So what I wanted to know about, do you find that all those elements of stand-up is something that can be taught? Is it more of a natural talent? Is it a little bit of both? I mean, because you have to – we're talking about things like timing. So when I watch your videos –
uh-huh.
Some of your largest laughs are you saying nothing, but it's all over your face, and it's in the pause.
Right.
And the look. How do you develop that? Is that a natural gift?
Get your science books out, class. Yeah. So I'll give the illustration, but then I will come back and talk about it. So I have an amazing, intelligent, wise, beautiful, encouraging wife. She's absolutely amazing. And the girl can cook, let me say that. This woman is out of this world. Now, every now and then, the family joke is that dad has about one meal that he can cook and about eight meals that he can burn. Just destroy. Now, Gail, there are times, like once every leap year, that I can make a good meal when I just slow down and I read and I go through the scientific process of cooking. But my wife doesn't even need to like slow down and go step by step and does it every day. So I believe that, yes, like there is a science to stand-up comedy. And if you slow down enough, I believe everybody has one good meal or one good joke that they can write every single time. I really believe that. I mean, you know, every leap year, let me say it like that. But then you have those who worked hard, have just been trained, or somehow have this God-given instinct that makes them a good cook. But then when they get around other cooks and watch them, it makes them even better. So there are some or there are other comedians who could teach a certain person how the joke writing formula, or one of the joke writing formulas, and make it, and a person who has just a little bit of intellect or a little bit of instinct can write one joke. I think just about every person can once in a lifetime will come up with a really good joke that can be used on stage. The problem is when they think that they can do like a bunch of them. Come up with an hour's worth. That's when you get in trouble.
Well, that's the thing. That's what's so difficult about it. It's because part of that is the 1-2 punch, and it's a joke after joke after joke after joke after joke. And it's and each one is like funny. But I've even watched like Johnny Carson, for instance. And I've seen it where he delivers a line and then nobody really laughs. He's just standing there and he goes, "Okay, I guess that was a dud." No, none of you. And then people start laughing for that. So,
right,
did you ever have?
Yeah.
Have you ever had that?
Ah, yeah, absolutely. But that,
really,
that oftentimes it makes you go into mad science mode and you begin to rebuild a plane in midair. So a lot of times you find, like, let's take that breath, your breath stinks joke. There's some elements of that joke that was developed on stage from me just getting up and acting it out and telling it. And they're like, okay, this works, this doesn't work. Nobody laughed at this. Let me try to do this because the laugh pause was too long.
But then, so that's where you have to have courage and stand up, correct?
Well, some would say courage, and some would say an internal deficit that needs attention so much that you're going to do whatever you can to get that laugh.
I still think it takes courage. I think it takes a lot of courage.
But listen to what I'm saying. I'm not saying it's both and, it's one or sometimes both and. I think it's, okay, this didn't work. Let me see what can work. That's the scientific method. My hypothesis is that this line is going to work. And then when it doesn't work, okay, let's go back to the drawing board. And sometimes you got to do that in a split second, in a tenth of a second.
That's the gift, though.
Yeah,
that's the gift and the talent.
Absolutely.
Right there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because,
and not become frazzled.
Right, because I think that's not easy for everybody to be able to do that in that split second to say, oh, because some people might get frightened by that, which I think is very natural, and I probably would, and stand there and look at everybody like, oh my gosh, what else have I got? If you don't have something else, or you don't recover from that, it could go a whole nother way. So I just think it takes a lot of courage to do that.
Yeah, but I would also say this: everybody does that in their own sphere of God-given abilities. Like I look at my wife Terry. Terry is an amazing administrator, and some things she does, I was there like, wow, that's gifted. How you just organize this, or make sure that this is in order. And she's like, I'm not gifted. It's just somebody's got to do it. And I'm like, no, because if I did it, I would have to stop everything, plan it out for 2 weeks, and then try to execute it. But she just does some administrative stuff in the drop of a hat without even thinking. So where I might do it on stage, that's because that's my niche that God has given me. God has given my wife a niche at the house, or at the crib, as I like to say, and, with her administrative ability, that's unprecedented that I've seen. So and I'm sure for you, it shows up when you communicate it to people, or if you write it and everything. So, and of course you research, my goodness. So I'm quite sure, like, you do some things instinctively that everyone else doesn't do. That probably would have to take a seminar and a PhD track to learn how to do.
So you know what? We're going to hold that thought because we're going to go to a station break. And this is a perfect segue into the next audio clip we're going to listen after the break. But right now, we're going to take a short station break. So if you have any questions or comments for Jason, we're going to be taking callers at about 10:45 Eastern or 9:45 your time, Central Time, Jason. You can do that. Yeah. You can do that by calling in at 347-324-5246 and press the number 1 to come on air. Again, that's in about 15 minutes, 10:45 Eastern and 9:45 Central. The number is 347-324-5246 and press the number 1. Right now, we're just going to take
me.
A short break.
Call me.
Call Jason.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
And we're back with renowned Christian comedian and entertainer Jason Earls. As a reminder, we'll be taking calls for Jason around 15 minutes from now. Simply call 347-324-5246 and press number 1 to come on air. So, Jason, before the break, we talked about your background a little bit and your comedy style, but many of your comedic fans and followers may or may not know that you are a proficient theologian and youth pastor.
Ooh,
and
well,
you are so smart.
That's a lot of I was not proficient, and, you know, yeah, I was a youth pastor for 18, like 19 years. Now, I, you know, which got into me doing a lot of family ministry, and now I travel the country speaking, not just to youth groups, but my wife and I developed a marriage ministry. I also am on the teaching staff at a church in Seattle. So, yeah, I do a lot of things, but, man, that theologian. I know so many great thinkers of theology. I'm like,
I spent enough time with you in Israel to know and been very impressed by your knowledge of the Bible. So it's, I'm definitely not misspeaking there at all or exaggerating your intelligence. But so I wanted to go ahead and play another audio clip that kind of segues into this because I stumbled across it on Instagram and I found it so relatable to all age groups. So I want to go ahead real quick and play it now for our listeners. So let's take a listen to Give Them What You Got.
What's happening, y'all? I want to share with you one of the most inspiring verses that sparked my creativity. It comes from Mark chapter 6. Jesus and disciples had left the crowd, but a large crowd followed them, and Jesus had compassion on them and started teaching them. In the midst of teaching them, it had gotten a little late, and something happened. Check this out in verse 35 of chapter 6. It says, when it was already quite late, his disciples came to him and said, this place is desolate, and it is already quite late. Send them away that they may go into the surrounding countrysides and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered them, you give them something to eat. So here it is. Disciples said, Jesus, let the people go get something to eat. It's late, they're hungry. And Jesus said, you feed them. And they're like, Jesus, do we spend all this money to get these folks some food? And Jesus said, give me what you got. He took the little bit that they had and blessed it and divided it up, and he gave it to 5,000 plus people. Woo! So here's my point. You may have something small, but people need to eat. People are hungry for some spiritual food during this coronavirus crisis, and you've got some stuff that they need. So give Jesus what you got. You take your little iPhone, you take your little bit of video skills or the lack thereof, and give it to God. Ask God to bless it and multiply it, and let's see what happens. Don't just stand and ask God to feed the people. You start taking charge with the little bit that you have. Give it to him and feed the people. Woo!
Jason, there are so many amazing nuggets in that video. So many amazing nuggets. That's why I had to, I want to talk about that, because how are you inspired by this truth? And why is this so important to our faith walk?
Gail, I got to tell you, man, when I die, I don't want people to say that, man, he was one of the funniest guys I knew. I don't want them to say that. I want them to be able to say, when I die, I want them to laugh. I want you to laugh. But I want you to say, that dude right there helped me to understand that I don't have to be the biggest, the best. But God gave me this little thing, and I gave it back to God, and I saw him multiply it and feed the masses. That's remember what I said, Gail, earlier, that – and you probably have heard, if you're discerning, you probably have heard a little undercurrent theme that's been going on and that I recognize that I'm doing. It's like I'm encouraged by some of the great things that you said about me, and it's primarily because I've consistently, again, I'm the youngest guy in my generation of Earls. I come from this family of intelligent folks, so as a little boy, I had this lack of confidence, this this unhealthy view of myself. And so then one day I realized, like, yeah, even if that stuff was true, some of it's not, but even if it was true, God has given me one little lunch that he wants to use to feed the masses. And that's what stand-up comedy is to me. I'm talking, some of you all are not, I live in Dallas, Texas. Some of you all are across the pond. Some of you all in the UK listening to me right now. And the only reason why you're listening to me and being inspired by me is because I gave God my lunch, my little fish and my little bread of making people laugh. Somebody had, Melinda had this idea to make a radio station available across the globe, and she gave God that little idea and gave it to him. Gail, you had this little idea about doing something that every American does, or everybody in the world, unless you have a challenge, and that's speaking, or everybody has this ability to communicate, and we gave it, and look what God is doing with it. And so all of us have something that we have that God, listen, God gave us this so that he can use it. We just got to give it to him. Notice what Jesus said. When the disciples came to him, like, hey, send the people away to go get something to eat. Jesus said, you feed them.
I love that.
You mean?
You do
you
it.
You feed them. Yeah. Yeah, you do it. Like, well, Jesus said, give me what you got. So even in spite of God knowing our limitations, he knows them. He wants you to give him what you got with your limitations so you can see the miracle in him using some individuals like you and me.
I love what you just said, because this is what the Lord said to me when Melinda asked me to be a radio host 5 years ago. I said, Melinda, I have the gift of administration. I can write and I can research and I can talk, but I don't have a broadcasting degree. I don't have a broadcasting degree. Are you sure, like, you want me to do it? Because I don't have a broadcasting degree. And she said, I just want you to be willing. And the Lord spoke to me through that. And he said, just say yes. I just want you to say yes. So it's, I gave him my lunch. And look what the Lord did, just like you said. It's not me. It has nothing to do with me. It's just, it's all through the Lord and what the Lord wants to do through us. But not only does he help us feed the souls of others, it also helps ourselves.
You get
your confidence, and then you know that you can be an instrument for the Lord. And so this is why this video is so important. And I love that you said, do it with your limitations. It's okay to have limitations. It's okay. God doesn't care about perfectionism. He just wants you to be willing, and he wants you to have a willing heart and, a heart to serve. And so whatever it is, whatever gift that you have, and it doesn't have to be an entertaining type of gift. It doesn't have to be. It could be, my brothers are mechanics. They're amazing. They can fix anything in the house. My dad was a carpenter himself. It doesn't matter what your gift is. Everybody has a gift or two that the Lord has given you.
Go ahead.
No, go right ahead.
I was just thinking, God loves picking players who have limitations on his team. On the Kingdom of God team, he loves picking players with limitations because it shows his glory. Like,
exactly.
You think of, like, think about in the scriptures. All through
exactly.
the scriptures, it was always people with limitations. It was Moses got this ability not to communicate, wasn't raised around his biological family. Daniel, away from his family, in a lion's den, or with the entire parliament or party in the government who was against him. The disciples, most of them contextually didn't pass the seminary test.
Yeah.
So they had to go back. So you look at, like, if God was a football player or a soccer player, he would choose a team and allowed the score to be 4-1 with 3 minutes left in regulation, and the star goalie just got a red card. And he's like, okay, now that y'all understand my limitations, your limitations, excuse me, now that you understand your limitations, now it's time for you to see the person who invented soccer, who gave you the ability to play soccer. Watch this. Stand by and watch the hand of the Lord.
Isn't that true? Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like with Moses, when he parted the Red Sea, God did that through him. And he said at the burning bush, "Who am I to go and tell Pharaoh?
Right.
I don't know what to say to him." And he said, "I'm going to tell you what to say." But he needed him to be willing to go. Just say yes and be willing to go and put yourself out there. The Lord will take care of the rest. And it's just that was such an encouraging word. That's such an encouraging word and such an encouraging video that I saw on Instagram. And so I just really wanted, you know, to talk about that because it's so important for what we're going through today in our faith walk. And I just want to encourage people that everybody has something, you know, everybody has a little bit that they have to give. And so if you don't feel like you do, you need to get in prayer and ask the Lord, show me what you want me to do. And he'll answer that call. He certainly did for you. There's something that I wanted to talk with you about that I think is really important that you do. Also, as
before
a youth
you
pastor.
Before you transition, can I add to what you just said?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Sure.
We need to switch our question around. Instead of asking, who am I, we need to say, put an is and flip the am I.
Oh, I love that.
Who is?
Who is he?
Who is I am? Just don't
Absolutely.
Ask who am I and your limitations. Ask who is I am and watch the great I am show you why you have your limitations.
Who he is through us.
Yes.
Oh, I love that. See how smart you are? See how smart you are.
Thank you.
That's my case in point, Jason. See how smart you are?
Man, that's the grace of the Lord, man. His glory.
No. You're just amazing. You're amazing to me. It's just, you have so many good nuggets in there. And just in talking with you and sitting with you, I had that privilege for 10 days in Israel, just on the bus. Like, we're having these conversations, it's like blowing my mind. And so I'm like, we just need the benefit of not just your comedy, but your thought processes and just, you know, just how you think. And
yeah, you know what amazed me about that trip, Gail? I want to tell your listening audience, Gail is the most spiritual person that was on that trip. She got baptized twice. She got baptized in the Jordan, and then she also got baptized in the Dead Sea. Remember that?
I did. Oh my God.
So everybody, so we did the baptism in the Jordan, which was an amazing spiritual experience. And then later on during the trip, we went to the Dead Sea, and everybody was out floating. We went and put on our swimming trunks and, you know, bathing suits, and we were getting in the Dead Sea. And Gail was being just the sweet person that she is. No, I'm not going to go get dressed in a bathing suit. I'll stand by and take pictures of everyone. So Gail's walking, and if you've ever been to the Dead Sea, the stuff is a little, what we call it, slippery. So Gail, not really understanding that, how slippery it was, she was being careful. And, man, she had a camera and was taking pictures, and all of a sudden, Gail disappeared in the and her clothes, oh, my goodness, it was hysterical. Anyway.
I slipped and fell, had my clothes on, my phone. The Lord protected my phone, but I got out of there too quick because I thought I should have just put my bathing suit on and joined everybody else and been in the moment with everybody because I got as baptized as I did in the Jordan River. You're so right about that. That's hilarious. Oh, my goodness. Okay. But the Lord works in mysterious ways. No, it's hilarious. No, I really enjoyed that. That's so funny. You're right. I did get baptized twice, didn't I? Well, what you need to understand is that it's oily, and they did tell us that.
Yeah.
It's very oily, and that's why they have those shops that when you're done getting out of the Dead Sea and you get dressed, they have shops where you can buy all the products and all of that.
Right.
And because it's oily and it's great for your skin, and people just put all that mud all over them. It's awesome. But yeah, I wasn't expecting that, but you know, it's all good.
Absolutely.
So I want to ask you, how does the Lord show you humor from his word? Because he has, you know, serious things in the Bible, but you can take his humor and apply it to today's issues.
I wish that I could tell you that there's a formula to it. But I would just say, man, a lot of times I'm just reading the word and I'm being serious, trying to, you know, spending time with the Lord, listening to him. And I'll be reading and the Lord has just showed me some humorous insight. And a lot of times when it happens, I'm like, no way, Lord, I'm focused on you right now. And then it's just like, no, pay attention to this, write this down. It's amazing. I was reading in Job. Here's where that stinking breath joke actually part of it originated from. I was reading through Job, and Job 19:17 says, even my breath was offensive to my wife. And I read that, like, that is hilarious. Job says, my breath stinks. To everybody. When I went to seminary, we studied, my favorite class was Bible study methods, and they call it hermeneutics, the art and science of interpreting scripture. And what they tell you is you gotta keep the text in its context. You gotta understand before you take your mindset or your understanding to the scripture. You gotta understand who it was written to, what was it saying to that specific group of people during that time that it was written, because my life experiences will say something to a context, but you got to understand the entire scenario that the particular verse was written in. And Gil, I'm reading it, and one thing they tell you, they say, man, you got to, one thing to help you is to imagine if you were fly on the wall, like if you were living back then. That's one of the processes or exercises. So I'm reading when Jesus was picking his disciples. And I'm reading, and I'm like, okay, here's he's picking these guys. But again, go back to then. What was it like for them? Like, okay, these were regular dudes. These were not the smartest guys. These are the youngest guys. And you're paying attention to everything that's going on. There's the last week. There are no women. And so you then start ask yourselves a question, like, why were there only dudes? How come there were no female disciples? Then I was like, not saying, again, this is no degrading women at all, so please don't take this away. But I was thinking, like, what if some of the women in my family were disciples? And then I start thinking, like, Jesus would say, Peter, get into the boat. Yes, blessed master. Matthew, you get into the boat. Yes, blessed teacher. Tamika. Tamika, will you just get into the boat, please? Even Judas got into the boat. You asking all these questions. And they're like, how long are we going to be on the boat? What do I need to pack? Hold on. Do you have 5,000 napkins and spoons and hand sanitizer for all these people? You don't know how many of them got the coronavirus. They can't just come up in here. We need to spread them out a little bit more. Put them 6 feet, Jesus.
She starts managing Jesus.
Right. You look at Mark 8, when the disciples, after they fed the multitudes and they took the baskets of fish, Jesus said, hey, put them in baskets. Let's take them. They got into the boat, and then they were hungry. Like, nobody got the fish? The fish. You know, if Tamika was there, like, no, we got all of them right here. In fact, we got the boneless here, the last. That stuff would have been organized. Some of the miracles wouldn't have happened because there wouldn't have been no deficit.
That's hilarious. But But you know what? That's the insight that I'm talking about that you have, that I think the Lord just blesses you with. He helps you to find that humor, like to go back, because most of the time you're just looking for the message in the word when you're reading it. Okay, so you're just reading the story and you're taking it in. But for you to go back and stop and go, wait a minute, I just noticed that he didn't pick women, although he did have women disciples like Mary Magdalene.
Right, absolutely. But not the 12 is what I'm talking about. Yeah,
but not in the 12, exactly. Like, yes.
Right,
I know exactly what you're talking about. But you're right, and I wouldn't have thought of that. And you're not even thinking about material. I think the Lord gives you that inspiration as he's reading it. Hey, Jason, go back and think about this for a minute. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. But I think that allowing God to do what he does as opposed to us going to God with our own agenda, like, hey, I'm going to be funny today. You give me some funny. And a lot of times, like even on this radio program, I'm thinking, man, it'd be great if I can come on Gail's radio program and just be funny and we laugh. But Lord's like, oh, yeah, you'd be funny, but I got some insight that I want other people to get. One time I was praying, and I really shout out to all the missionaries out there who are spreading the gospel all across the globe.
Oh, amen to that.
I talked to a friend, and I just called him because I knew he was on the mission field. He probably needs to laugh. I called him, FaceTimed him, and just started testing out new jokes. And he told me after he started laughing, he said, Jason, I forgot what it's like to smile. Thank you.
See.
The next day, Gail, I'm going in my prayer closet to spend some time praying. All that's on my to-do list agenda today was to spend some time comedy writing. And as I'm going to pray, I'm like, Lord, the only thing that's on my agenda today is to write jokes. How in the world is it that I got to spend a day writing jokes? And I've got missionary friends and missionaries all across the world who are suffering, who are going through all types of persecution. They're struggling, and I'm focusing on laughter today. And then God spoke to my heart, if you don't make people laugh, who is? If you don't make them laugh, who's going to help them to laugh? So a lot of times I sometimes struggle just with the balance of, man, there's so much serious stuff going on in the world. How is it that I get to play some days? The Lord's like, if you don't help people play, where's the joy going to be? So.
And the joy of the Lord is our strength.
Come on, somebody.
Right? The joy of the Lord is our strength. And so we need that joy, and we need to laugh. And I wouldn't minimize your ability to make people laugh as not being a ministry. It's a different type of ministry. But
yeah,
it's the same as being in the mission field as your friend is in the trenches there. He just has a different type of ministry than you with your comedy. But it's the nuggets that you pull out, the biblical truths from the Bible that you pull out, and your experiences like at church and our families, because that's things we can all relate to. So you help us find the humor in life. But you also help us, you know, and not take ourselves so seriously. But also, you teach us biblical truths through that. And, you know, just to find the humor in everyday life. But I love how you just use biblical truths, and just like with giving us what you got. To me, that is so profound. How long was that clip? A minute and a half? 2 minutes? But you said a lot in those 1 or 2 moments. So you have the ability to utilize the time that you have to minister to people and make them laugh. And it's just, that's your secret sauce, and that's what makes you special. And I love that your father said that to you, because that really was a very edifying and freeing truth that he had for you. And I keep using that word, but it is. And it's just freeing. I just hope that everybody listening here today understands and knows that whatever God has given you, whatever ability you have, please go forth with confidence, knowing that you have the ability to multiply through the Lord whatever it is he's given you to do to reach other people for him.
Absolutely. My uncle said it like this. God didn't give everybody everything. He gave everybody something.
That's it. Hey, Jason, guess what? We have a caller. If your number is 2786, you're on the air with Gail and Jason Earls.
Hey, Jason, it's Julie. Julie Silcott, how are you?
Hey, I'm good, Julie. How you feeling?
You know what? I'm calling in because, first of all, I have to just say how much I appreciate you, because I just want everyone to know I went to Israel with Gail and with Jason, and I struggled because I had, you know, Lyme disease. And it's just sometimes a full-time job even for me just to, you know, function. So it was like me giving God my lunch just going to Israel. And I did. I struggled on the flight over, and you knew that. And you knew that I struggled. And the whole time you were coming up to me, checking on me, trying to make me laugh. I just want to tell you, your heart is so huge, and I just so appreciate how you were on that trip. You just have no idea what you did, and I just am so grateful to you, okay? I just want you to know that.
Listen, I was just trying to keep you hydrated because I'm not the strongest guy because I don't want to be scaring folks around. You give a prophet water, you get a prophet's reward, man.
Well, you were amazing, and you're so gifted, and I just wanted to thank you for all that because it truly helped me to keep going. It really did, because I was struggling.
It is such a blessing and encouragement just to hear from you. Thank you. Ah, man, God gave you some special family when I went there. Thank you so much.
It was.
He did.
Julie,
really
thank you
did.
For calling in.
Good.
Yes,
you
you're
so
welcome. You're welcome.
Really?
You got. What's that?
You got.
Jason,
it.
Did you want to say something to Julie before we close?
I love you, Julie.
I love you, and God bless you.
Thank you, Julie. I really appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you.
Oh,
absolutely.
Awesome.
Take care.
Wow.
Well, Jason,
so cool.
I'm so sorry. It's as we say in the industry, that's a wrap. The time goes so fast here. I know. I just enjoy our conversation so much. And thank you for coming here today and taking the time to be with us and giving us what you got this morning, because it's a lot. What you give is a lot. And I just want to see if we say a short prayer so I can close and leave you with a blessing. Do you mind if we close out this portion of the program with a blessing?
Do I mind? Bring it. Come on. I received it.
All right. So, Lord, we thank you for the many talents and natural comedic insights of Jason Earls. We thank you also for his integrity, love of people, and his passion to spread your word through the gift of comedy. We ask that you bless and multiply Jason's ministry and beautiful large family as he continues in his work through you. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, amen. And if you wish to learn more about the many faces and products of Jason Earls Comedy and Ministry, please visit his website at www.jasonearls.com. And also, you don't want to miss out on Jason's latest episode of his Jokes Aside podcast. Yes, you can catch Jason's own podcast show on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Castbox.fm, and on his website, again, at www.jasonearls.com, and that's spelled JasonEarls.com. If you're interested in booking Jason for your next event, please send all inquiries to April@jasonearls.com or go to his website at www.jasonearls.com and click on the Book Jason icon to fill out the online form. It's that easy to secure the clean, Christian, and hilarious comedy of Jason Earls for your next event. On social media, you can follow Jason Earls on Facebook at Jason Earls Comedy or at Jason Earls on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, respectively. Also, a more jiffy way to follow Jason Earls is through www.jiffy.com and search for Jason Earls Comedy. The Up to Me magazine show will be back next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. with another fabulous guest to inspire and educate you. So mark your calendars and meet me here at the Gabby G Cafe. And on behalf of Mel D and myself and the entire cast of Up to Me Radio, this is Gabby G saying take five this week and be inspired to ask yourself about your own Up to Me moment. Then come back and share it with us, because you know what? It's your life, your moment. It's up to you. Take us out, Mel D, as we listen to our fabulous theme song, Wake Up, by Blessed Love Gospel Reggae Band.
It's up to me to be the very best I can be. And it's up to you.
Until my flesh expires, I am a king and she is a queen, and he shall reign forever. Great. is no longer me. I'll be saying, wake up, Daniel.